Amen.
That's so good. You sure to see that now?
Yes.
Oh, good thing.
Yes.
Maybe, yes.
You're all good. Gerald.
It's good to see you. Good to see our neighbors.
Amen.
Good to see all of you. I do want you to know, though, that I appreciate the faces. I did use the odor tonight. Those of you who would like to stay back there in the back, I did get it off tonight. That's all right. But appreciate you being here and sharing your time with us. Absolutely. Wednesday night, tomorrow night, the last night for us here to preach and sing together. What a week it's been. I appreciate tonight that we did not have a supper engagement.
Yes.
It was a relief. A relief.
We thought you'd enjoy it.
Yes. I appreciate it. But we have enjoyed all the food that's been brought in. Where we've gone, it's just been marvelous. And my sisters have enjoyed it. Somebody will ask me when I get back, said, what kind of meeting did you have? And I'll say, it's about a 10-pounder. But it's been good to be with all of you and be with my sisters. Several people asked me tonight, do we need some carpenter work done? Why are you carrying extra tape on your side? Well, you know, I've decided that I need to really care a measuring tape with me more than I do my phone. My phone does a lot of good things, you know what? But a measuring tape actually reminds me of something. The Bible tells me I've got a certain amount of time to live. Psalm 90 says that you might have 70. Or perhaps, reason and strength, you might have 80. What you're looking at, if I were to take this tape measure and measure it off and turn it into years. If you're 80 years old, these kids, these little kids back there, they're looking at 80. That's what they're looking at. But as I look out over this audience, I don't see a bunch of little kids. I see some older people. If you're 40, you're down to that. If you're 70, you're down to that. If you're 80, you're down to that. That's to tell you what the psalmist said in Psalms 90 when he said, you know, you can live to be 90 or 70 and perhaps 80. And then a little bit later he says, Lord, because of that, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom, you see. And so when you got it, you know, when you're here, you know, you've got a lot of time to do a lot of things, to carry out a lot of plans. But as life goes on, it gets shorter and shorter and shorter. But sometimes we forget about that. We're not applying our lives. When I look at myself, you know, I'm down to about right here. You know, that's a long time from here. When I was 16 years old, I gave a speech in the FFA called "The Fight Against Famine." And in that speech, I said, "Did you know that by the year 1975, this was in 1960, did you know that by the year 1975, one third more farmers are going to be called upon to produce one third more food?" And at that time, a 16-year-old boy looked at 1975 and thought, man, that's a long way off, you know. I said, ooh, 1916, I had my whole life ahead of me, you know. I just got my driver's license, you know. I was hoping to get a good date, you know, for that time, you know. I was looking for those kinds of things, excitement, you know. 1975 was a long way off. And now, in the rearview mirror, 1975 was a long way off.
Long way back.
It's already passed. And so we apply our hearts to wisdom. We're not morbid about it. I'm not morbid about it. But every day get up and I look at the old man that's looking back at me in the mirror, and I say, fella, let me tell you, this could be the day. This could be the day that you get to see the Lord face to face.
And so, I'm in the glory land waiting.
I have a home prepared. And that's the good thing about it tonight. And you know what I want more than anything else? I know where I'm going. I know who my Savior is. I know who my Lord is. I know who's washed my sins away. And in spite of the fact of who I am and what I've done, I stand tonight in His grace, and I stand with Paul as he says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. You see, we're either in Christ or out of Christ, one or the other. But if you're in Christ, the wonderful thing is we don't stand condemned. Amen?
Amen.
We don't stand condemned. So that means that John Hall's on his way to that place that's been prepared for. And guess what? I want every single one of you here in this building to go with me. I want you to go with me.
I want us to sit around that throne and sing those wonderful songs. And I want you to know that heaven is not going to be just an all-day singing, okay? A lot of people think that that's all heaven's going to be. It's just an all-day singing. We're going to praise God. But I don't know what all's going to be there, but I do know one thing. We're going to be there before the throne praising Him for what all He's done. For what all He's done. I appreciate, Robert, what you put on Facebook about my preaching this week. It is the old time. And we've been looking in the book of Psalms, and tonight you could be turning to Psalms 103 if you want to. And that's where we're going to be tonight. I want to make it practical. How long have you been coming to church? You know, I can preach about the fundamental things, and we have this week. And yet the Bible tells us that there comes a time when we've got to go beyond. We've got to mature. We've got to grow up. And so it's a practical. What I've been trying to give you is not only to remind you about the great things that God has done, but to give you some insights into the practicality of living every day in the presence of Him who created the earth. I love Psalms 103. And let's look at it for just a minute. It says, you know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. I think about that. First of all, He makes it a personal thing. And I want you to know that, praise Him, and I've been reading my mind today, that very first song. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. That's the theme of tonight's lesson. So I think we had mental telepathy today as I was studying and thinking about John. Anyway, but it's a personal thing, you see. This psalmist talks about praise. What does he say? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Not everybody else, but me. Bless Him. And the word blessing here does not mean, you know, a lot of people think that the word bless, they say, how can you bless God? He's the one that blesses us. But the word bless just simply means to praise and to thank. That's what it means. You know, in the book of, we read about Jesus instituting the supper. It says that He blessed the bread and He blessed the wine. And a lot of people think that He made it into something because He said, this is my body and this is my blood, and that it be. When He blessed it, that means it became something special. And today there are some churches that still believe that when they bless the bread, it becomes His actual body and His actual blood. It doesn't do that. It didn't happen in Jesus' day, number one, because He hadn't died yet. Couldn't be His body. Number two, Leviticus 17 forbids us to drink in blood, so it couldn't be His real blood. It was symbolic. But when He blessed it, He was simply saying, Father, we thank You. We praise You because of what this is doing, what this is all about. And because they were observing the Passover. And Jesus is our Passover, and He wanted His people to know that. But it was blessed. But here He says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And that simply means to praise Him. Why is it that we can't give people
Lord for all that he has done. Why is it, as an individual, as I look at myself, Lenny's having a birthday coming up pretty soon, next month, August 24th. Mine's the next day. And I look back at those years, and I go back all the way at the beginning, that little hill dairy farm back up in West Tennessee. And I see the travel that I've been. God has blessed me so much. I've been able to travel all over the world. God has allowed me to, you never think a little boy from West Tennessee could travel to Africa, the South Pacific, China, all those different places and preach and stay with the people that you want to study with. And God has blessed me. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you how God has blessed me. You know. And you ask my sisters, how in the world a little boy that was scared of his own shadow could go all those places. How that I could stand up in the face of being arrested for preaching once in Africa. I was arrested. That didn't mean anything to me. I'm just saying, God has brought me through that. While in Africa, I came down with malaria, lost 40 pounds in malaria. You're starving to death because couldn't eat, couldn't keep in that down. And today I still have malaria and stuff in it. I can't give blood, you know. But I nearly died from it. I was in the hospital. Now, seriously ill with that. He brought me through it. Everything. How can I not bless the Lord? How can I not praise him? And that song that we first started out with, praise him, praise him, praise him. That's what it ought to be. What do you sing? Let me ask you, when you travel, what do you do? What kind of music do you listen to? Country? You know, rock and roll? I don't care what you listen to. But you know, it would be good every once in a while, turn that thing off and just start singing some wonderful hymns and praise to God. You don't have to be in a church building to praise God. Do you know that? When you're out there in the middle of that boat and you're not, and the fish aren't biting too good, praise the Lord. I think of that in another type of Psalms 34. Listen to these words. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise the Lord at all times. We have a young man that leads our singing quite often in Glenwood. And the first thing that he does, and this is a boy about 19 years old, first thing he does, and he sort of has it worked out with the congregation. I mean, he started it, and he said, this is what I want you all to do. The Lord is good, the congregation says, all the time. Then he turns around and says, all the time, and we say, God is good. And that's exactly right. He's good all the time. There's not a time when God is not good. My wife recently had to go through a terrible ordeal because of her sickness. I had to have her put into a psychiatric hospital. And that's not a pretty place to be. It was a terrible ordeal for her and for me. But out of it, some good has come. Because you see, I believe that all things work together. Not all things are good, but all things will work together for good. Now, I know it's a difficult time for you, but I promise you, out of this good will come. It's not a good thing. God didn't say it was. There are difficult times, but good will come. So all the time, I watch very little TV. I got more important things to do than listen to all this garbage that is on the TV. I'm not telling you, if you want to watch TV, that's fine and good. I watch a little bit of TV, but I watch very little. And I especially don't watch the news. I don't like all that stuff that goes on, all this fussing and bickering and what. I just refuse to listen to it. Somebody says, well, you're ignorant of what's going on. I said, praise the Lord for that. You know? If ignorance is bliss, I'm a blister. You know? Because I just don't want to listen to all that stuff. I've got more important things to do. I can open my word, this book, and I can look in there and see all the things. And what does he say? He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. I'm not even making it a personal thing, but it is a fervent thing. So I praise the Lord. The songs that are always in my mind, mostly, and folks, please don't take this wrong. I'm not trying to tell you that I am a good guy. I'm not trying to tell you that I'm a perfect guy, far from that. But you see, when you do that, the thing that comes in your mind is not, you know, I guess the only song I can probably bring up right now in my mind is when I was about 16 years old. There was a song that says, She Wore Blue Velvet. But the things always going on in my mind is the songs that we sing at church. And it's there. And that's a fervent thing. And you've got to do that with the people around about you. Don't worry about it. When you're going through that, every once in a while just say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I hear people say that. And I want it to be sincere. But I thank the Lord at all times. Continually, I want His praise to be upon it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says that we will offer up the fruit of our lips as a sacrifice to God. The fruit of our lips. And that means that we're talking about the Lord. He's good. He's good. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of people. I told you about the woman I picked up here a while back. She was walking down the road. She had a backpack on her back. I know my sisters are going right now. John, you're not supposed to do that. I'm sorry. Jesus had the Good Samaritan story in the book, and it wasn't for nothing. But as I picked her up, well, the first thing I know, I could have gotten in trouble in this day and time. You know, I could have gotten in trouble even if nothing had happened. She could have claimed something. I don't care. What I want to know is, and I asked her, what do you know about Jesus Christ? You know, and I told you what her reply was. I heard that he's a good guy. I want her to know that he's more than a good guy. She needs to know about that he is the Savior of the world. He is the King of the universe. He is the Lord of lords. And he's the King of kings. And so I tried my best, you know. Somebody says they might kill you. Something's going to kill me. I don't know what. You know, something's going to get me. You know. And they said, well, they might pull a gun on me. What I want to know is, are they ready to die? Because you see, I'm driving the truck. So they better be ready to die too, because I'm ready. I'm ready, you know. Praise the Lord. All that is within me, praise the Lord. And then he says, and forget none of his benefits. Forget none of his benefits. And then begin reading with me. Look here. He says, who pardons all your iniquities. How about that? All of them. Not just some of them. All of them. Every sin that you've ever committed, if you are in Christ Jesus, they have been forgiven. Every one of them. There are expressions, as a matter of fact, if you're in the same book, if you will turn over to verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Tell me how far the east is from the west. You can't touch it because the further east you go, the further west it is. They don't touch. They don't touch. Another expression is, he has blotted them out. He had just crossed them out. He's blotted them out. He's erased them completely. Completely. He has cast them into the depths of the sea. I used to live in Vanuatu in the South Pacific. And just out from us, from the islands of Vanuatu where I live, there was a depression in the ocean that was over a mile deep. There are crafts that have gone out there and sunk, and they've never been able to bring them up because it's too deep. Too deep. And when the Bible says he cast them into the depths of the sea, it is exactly what he meant. Your sins, when you have been forgiven,
God will never bring them up again.
Sometimes we think, I don't think I can be forgiven. I just don't know if God can. Let me tell you what. If God can forgive a murdering adulterer like David, if he can forgive a prosecuting, persecuting, blaspheming person named Saul, he can forgive you. If he can forgive and use a man who would deny his one of his best friends and denied him, he can forgive you, and he will forgive you. His benefit of being in Christ is the fact, as he says, he pardons all, not some, not choosing. Now, our problem is that we have good brethren who will forgive you for some of the things. And some of the things they won't forgive you for. But let me tell you what, heaven does not depend on whether or not your brethren forgive you. Did you know that? He is the one who forgives, not you. And if you want to forgive me, I thank God for it. If you don't want to forgive me, I'm sorry. But you are not my judge. He is. You're not my Savior. He is. You're not the one who pardons my sins. He does. And so that's what I go through life. That's why I tell you tonight, that I'm on my way to heaven. Now, if you want to pull up by, what is it they call them when these criminals are going, you know, they go in, they talk about their sheep, what do they call that? I forgot. Rap sheet. Now, if you want to pull up my rap sheet, oh my goodness. Yeah. How does he know that?
She knew that.
Oh, it's me. If you want to pull up my rap sheet, you can. And I tell you that there's going to be lots of things on there. But God does not have a rap sheet if you've been forgiven. That's the wonderful thing about it. And folks, you say, John, you've talked about this several times. You're right, because I am tired of dealing with people and my brethren who have been forgiven, but who are living in guilt and will not forgive themselves and not allow God to forgive them. He pardons all of our iniquities. And then notice the next, he heals all of our diseases. I've got disease. Monday when I get back, I'm going to have cancer surgery. It's all right. I'm not worried about it. But that's not what he's talking about. And that'll be the fifth cancer surgery I've had. So I'm not being healed. So I just live with it. You know? Something's going to get me, folks. I'm here to tell you. Do you know what? If he's not that, something else, you know. Man met another fellow coming down the street. He said, well, how's your wife? And he said, oh, she passed on. She went to heaven. He said, well, I'm surprised. I got to thinking, that doesn't sound too good, does it? I'm surprised maybe that she went to heaven. And then he said, well, I'm sorry. That didn't sound too good either. Anyway, folks, something's going to get you. He heals all our diseases, but the disease that he heals primarily is the disease of sin. You see, he heals that. Because sin is that which makes us, David used the word rottenness of the bones. He talks about that. And that's what sin does. Sin is what mars the image. When man jerked himself away from God, he marred the image of God. You go into the restroom and you look into the mirror and it's all fogged up. You know, you want to put your makeup on, ladies, or you want to shave or something to other men. And what do you got to do? You can't see your image. It's marred. So what do? You clean it off. And when you clean off the mirror, then you can see the image. Now you might say, let me put it back. I don't like what I see. But we clean it off.
When Jesus Christ cleanses you of your sin, the image that has been marred by sin is cleaned. He cleanses us of our diseases.
Amen.
The disease of sin is gone. We have to deal with it. But isn't it wonderful that 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, His blood continually cleanses us. Coming out here tonight, I was driving Lindsay's car. It's a little bit dusty on the window. And so I turned on the wipers and tried to clean them. Then I told her, you need some new wiper blades. But you see, that's what the windshield wiper does. It constantly, as you're driving and the storms are coming, as the sin comes, those wiper blades continually wipe away the water so you can see where you're going and you can get safely to your destination.
Amen.
And that's what the blood of Christ does.
Yes.
It constantly cleanses us. And that's why I can say, I was brought up to say this. People say, are you going to heaven? I say, I hope so. I think so. That's how I was brought up. That's how a lot of you were brought up. Because see, we didn't dare say, yeah, I'm going to heaven, because the idea was, well, next week I may fall off the deep end. You know, next week I may sin. Next week I may do this. We're not worried about next week. We're worried about right now. Years ago, I was in Jacksonville, Florida, knocking on doors, setting up studies. The lady said, come on in, Brother Hall, or Mr. Hall. I came on in. I said, I started studying with her. She said, first of all, let me ask you a question. Are you going to go to heaven? Are you on your way to heaven? I said, well, I hope so. She said, that's not what I asked you, sir. Are you on your way to heaven? I said, well, I think so. I hope so. She said, that's not what I'm asking, Mr. Hall. You see, I believe I'm on my way to heaven. Now, what you're here knocking on my door, you're trying to get me to join your group in a state of uncertainty and to leave my state of certainty. And while it may have been a false certainty, you know, it hit me like two before. What does 1 John 5:13 says? I've written these things that you may know. You may know that you have eternal life. You don't have to guess about it, folks. If you've done what this book says, if you've done what Jesus Christ says, then you can know where you're headed. And that's what I know. He's healed me of all of my diseases. What else did He do? He says, not only that, He redeems your life from the pit. You ever been in the pit? Years I've suffered from myriad times of depression. At times I didn't care about nothing in those periods of depression. Recently, we had a young man in our congregation commit suicide because of depression. He just got to the point of hopelessness and helplessness. It crushed my spirit that that happened, that I couldn't help him more. But it happens. That's the pit. Someone said life is pitiful. It is. Joseph was sold out of the pit. He was put in the pit by his brother because of their sin. But you see, that's when he says he wants to take us. I go back to Psalms again in chapter 34. 34 is the one. Yeah. But verse 18, listen, he says to in chapter 34 and verse 18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. There are going to be difficult times in your life. There are going to be times when you're in the pit and you wonder, how can I get out? How can I see? I can't see anything. I feel like everything is lost. Everything is hopeless. But you just got to remember,
is near to the brokenhearted. He raises up those who are crushed in the spirit. That's one of the great benefits. So, praise the Lord, oh my soul. Forget none of his benefits. What is it? One of them is that he raises me up. He delivers me from the pit, he says. And then he says he crowns me with loving kindness and compassion. Once again, I come back to the fact, folks, I don't care where you've been, how long you've been there, if you come back to the Lord, he will run to meet you. The wonderful story, the gospel in miniature, is Luke 15, and we talked a little bit about it the other night. The boy who said, I've had it up to here, Daddy, I want out. I don't want to be a farm boy anymore. I've seen the lights, I've heard the music, and that's where I want to be. And so the Bible tells us that he went away and lived riotously in the far country. In the far country, he went away. And finally, the money ran out. And like it always does, when the money runs out, your friends will too, if you're depending upon your money. If they're depending upon you, showing them a good time, when the money runs out, they're gone. And so where did he find himself? Alone and hungry, even to the point of eating the pig food. The pig food. He was trampling around. I know you may not like this, but I'm going to tell you what he was trampling in. The hog manure. That's what he smelled like. You ever had to feed the hogs? You know what it's like. You know what it's like. The boy said, you know what? Here I am in this. And he got to thinking. He said, you know, back at the farm, my dad had all these servants. And my dad took care of the servants. They had food to eat. They had a bread. They had a bed to sleep in. They were being well taken care of. And if I could just go back there and just be his servant, that would be good because I'd be out of the hog pen. I'm willing to go back and just not be his son, but be his servant. And so he started back home. Can you imagine that, Daddy? In my mind, you know, being a country boy, I just see this house down a long lane. Dad every day going out on that front porch looking down the lane to see if just maybe the boy was coming home. Yes. And he went day after day after day after day. He could see nothing. But one day he looked and he saw the boy. His boy. He didn't walk like any of you know your kids. How they walk, what have you. He could see him. He looked and he saw that boy. Now, if it had been a lot of fathers that I know of, here's what would have taken place. There comes that no good boy that's dragged my name through the muck and the mire. And here he is dragging himself back home. Walking back in. And if I do, he's going to have to get on his hands and knees. And then we're going to try to see what happens for the next couple of months. See if he makes it. But the father didn't do that, did he? The Bible says that the father ran to meet the boy. And the Bible says kissed him. And in the original language, here's what it says. He kissed him and he kissed him and he kissed him and he kissed him and he kissed him. He just kept on kissing him because he was so happy that the boy who went away came back home. And so he came back. And they started back up the lane and immediately the servants were out there and he said, hey guys, kill the fatted calf, bring a robe, bring a ring, bring shoes, put on his feet, put the ring on his finger. This my son the son had said, "Dad, just let me be a slave. Just let me be a servant. That's all I'm going to be. I'll have food to eat, a bed to sleep in." But the father would have nothing of that. The father said, "This, my son, was dead, but he's alive. He was lost. Full compassion and loving kindness." And he didn't say, "I'm going to put you on trial and try you out and see how long you last." He didn't say, "Well, I'll take you back, but you're going to be my stepson." No. He said, "This is my son that's lost and is found." And so the writer here says, "Look, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless my soul," because he says, "He crowns me with loving kindness and compassion, and satisfies your ears with good things." Oh, my goodness. Sunday morning, I asked the question, how many places have you lived? I have moved 30 times in my lifetime. That's a bunch, you know it? 30 times have I moved from all over the world, primarily right here in the United States. Most people live, one or two houses, maybe. Outside of one time, every time, it was all right. The first 4 or 5 times was with the girls and my mom and dad. I was a kid from where I was born, a little farm. We moved to another farm, and then moved to another little house, and grew up, and I graduated from high school and left. And ever since then, I've been preaching. And the thing that I've never been homesick except one time was because God's family was there. Crown me with goodness and loving kindness, because I have 3 wonderful, lovely sisters, but I have you. You're my back. But I came back from Vanuatu. That was the only place I'd ever been homesick, because when we landed there, we were the first missionaries for the church in that country. There was no one there. Nobody that I knew of. We were going to be the first people. As a matter of fact, we met, I rented a room, and we started worshiping there, me and my family. And for the first 6 months, nobody came. I preached to my wife and 3 kids. They got tired of saying sermons. Oh, how I wanted just to slip in and hear a congregation saying, "God, this had ever been so good." But outside of that, every place I've ever moved has been God's family. When I came back from Vanuatu, we were coming back to California, and I wrote the church in Anaheim, and I knew that probably, I didn't think I'd ever be back in California again. They were Anaheim, you know, where Disneyland is. And I thought, well, I'll just write the church and see if they can help me, and I'll stay 2 or 3 days over, and I'll take the boys to Disneyland. And so I wrote the church, and they said, "Yes, you know, we're going to help you, you know, and we're sending you some brochures about hotels and things of that nature." And so we got off the plane in L.A., coming back from there. People all around. But in the back, got off of the rest of the crowd, there was a fellow holding up a sign. They said, "Welcome, John Paul family. Welcome home." He didn't know me personally. He knew me as a brother and the Lord. He took me to where he worked, and and around LA, a little bit, Orange County there, out to where Disneyland would be. And we went back to where he said, I'm going back to work. And we went back to work, and he turned around and he handed me a set of keys. I said, what's that? He says, that's the key to your car for the next 3 days. As I said, he didn't know me, except that we were brothers in the Lord. And so for those 3 days, we were able to enjoy ourselves and take care of things. That's family. That's what you are. When I come to Crockett, you're family, you know? And I don't care whether you're black or white or yellow or whatever. I don't care whether you're rich or poor or what. I don't care whether you're educated or uneducated. None of that makes a bit of difference. The only thing that I know is that if you've been born again by Jesus Christ, the water and the spirit, you're part of the family of God. And I have to love you. And when I say I have to love you, I want to love you. That's like in three girls. I have to love them. They make me. But I want to.
Amen.
And I want to love you. Oh, well, I know. Hello, and preacher, I'm sorry, please, Christ God. He says, yes, he has not, verse 10, he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad that he has not dealt with us according to our sins? According to our iniquities. Where are you? How much time have you wasted praising the Lord for all the benefits that He's given to you? How much time do you have left to praise Him for what He's done for you? How much time does this guy right here have? I don't know. But I know one thing. One of these days, it's going to end. It's going to end. And the only thing that will matter is whether or not you are in Christ Jesus. And whether or not you've blessed Him all of your life, for all of whatever time you had, blessed Him, praised Him, and did not forget all of His benefits. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, become one. If you need to be prayed for, to be restored maybe to your first love, we'll pray for that to happen. It can happen tonight. It may be just you need, right where you're sitting, you need to pray yourself that God will help you to get back on the right track and to praise Him at all times. God wants to bless you. Above all things, I want you to go to heaven with me. And if I could help you, come while we stand and sing.